Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having seven kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Well, the attacker of Dave Chappelle, the big story of the week at the Hollywood Bowl, his name is Isaiah Lee, did appear in court today with a swollen eye and his arm in a black sling. He got hit by security after he tackled Dave Chappelle during his Tuesday show.
Security at the Hollywood Bowl. And maybe some other comedians, too.
That is the story that's going around. He pled not guilty to 4 misdemeanor charges. That's all they could go for. Since the L.A. County District Attorney George Gascon passed on any felony prosecution.
In Gascon's Los Angeles, what you saw Dave Chappelle go through was not considered a felonious assault. So
no.
That's
even though
world.
He did have that replica gun that had like a little bayonet knife that would come out.
Now, the first reaction probably everyone had is, how did that guy get up there? How did he do that? Because you'd think
wondered that.
Well, we're going to talk with a comedian named Tehran Von Gazzeri. Tony, if you could put him on the air there. And he was there. And he saw this guy. Tehran, welcome.
Thank you all for having me. And I appreciate you for trying to pronounce my name correctly. That was amazing.
Did I got it?
You got it close enough. I felt the vibe. I felt enough. Like, I was like, that's a great, great first try. So I applaud you.
They gave me a pronunciation key, so...
You're worldly. I was giving you worldly credit.
what did you see the other night?
So let me just set the tone and the stage of the entire story. So at this night at the Hollywood Bowl Tuesday, we got to see Jeff Ross, Jimmy Carr, Earthquake, Jon Stewart, Chris Rock came out on stage, rocked the stage, literally. The Jabberwockies performed. And then, of course, Dave Chappelle came out with an amazing performance, which honestly was polarizing. It was controversial. It was everything you expect from Dave Chappelle. And as the night was concluding, Dave did a roll call and then was about to announce Black Star, Mos Def, and Talib Kweli, which are hip-hop royalty. They haven't performed in a decade or so in the United States together. This was a legendary momentum part of the night. I saw a young guy standing back behind where I was. Now, just to give you a picture of where I was in the front pit where the VIP executives and celebrities were. So I was sitting next to Damon John and Kyrie Irving and that group of people right there, directly in front of the stage, dead center. There was a person hanging out behind the boundary, and then the security looked away. They slipped over the barrier like you would the hood of a car, just slid right over. But their demeanor and his character seemed a little bit off, to the point where I looked at the person to the left of me, and I was like, that's suspicious, right? And he said, yeah, that's very sketch. And we elected to try to get the attention of the security and the security guard who was there. And remember, it was extremely difficult for all of us to get in there, even with all the passes and the wristbands and everything we had. It took us a while to get in there.
And what kind
a phone in.
What was the barrier made of that he hopped over?
It was just like a wood or metal barrier, one of those things that's a blockade from the walkway to that portion. So it's partly decorative, but also there to form a barrier around this pool. They call it the pool area. And it's the pit right in front of the stage. And he slid over right next to us. I'm talking about an arm's length away. Saw him. He pat the front of his pants and grabbed his backpack, put his hoodie on, and walked with intent towards the front. I attempted to tell the security, I said, excuse me, I hate doing this, especially because it was like a black kid with a hoodie, and I hated being, as a black person myself, I'm like, I hate being like, this guy's suspicious, but he looks suspicious. I even said that to security. I was like, the way he's walking to the front, you need to keep your eye on him. And she dismissed me. She shrugged me off very dismissively. And within 30 seconds to a minute later, of course, we all saw what happened.
Did you know right away it was that guy?
100%. I never took my eyes off the prayer. I saw where he was standing. I tried to alert them. I even told them, hey, keep your eyes on him. Because the way he walked to the front, you knew that he had some type of ill intent. And I hate stereotyping people, but this was a Disney villain.
Yeah,
demeanor.
But his behavior. I mean, we all have like an internal... where we could quickly, crunch what we're seeing, the behavior, and you just have to go with that instinct. I mean, instinct is real. When you see or feel someone's dangerous, you listen to that instinct, because much of the time you're right, and you were watching behavior that was
100%.
Off.
100%. My spider senses started tingling. This was everything that you're taught, and this was, let's remember, I'm also a person of color, I'm a black person, this isn't a racially motivated stereotype of intent. This is a bad guy who wants to do bad things, pay attention. And the venue security paid no attention. And it was thankfully Dave's security, Trav, and those guys, and also his management were able to get on stage, because honestly, the venue security was underprepared and underresponded to the entire event that were going on the stage.
I'm surprised, because after what happened with Will Smith and Chris Rock, a lot of comedians publicly said it's like this could start a bunch of copycat attacks, and you'd think everyone would be on a heightened alert just because of what happened at the Oscars a few weeks ago.
You would think so, and I'll tell you something. Do I believe the Hollywood Bowl would have ever let a fan, let alone an attacker, on stage if it was Taylor Swift? I do not think so. This was taking Dave Chappelle for granted. This was, and even the charges. Do I think someone who attacked Taylor Swift would be charged with a misdemeanor? Come on, a misdemeanor. Basically, running a red light, jaywalking, and jumping on stage and attacking Dave Chappelle are all the same thing.
I'd agree with you, except we're talking about George Gascon here.
And you know what? And here's the thing. I take the politics out of it. Right wing, left wing, same bird. I'm literally talking about the principles. The principle is this person clearly had a premeditated, pre-orchestrated, organized agenda and carried it out, had a weapon on him. By the way, the weapon was in access. It was, I don't think a lot of people understand where the weapon fell out of. It was right in front of his right in front of his crotch area. So it was right there in weapon reaching access area. And why that's important is because that's the part he padded that got my attention to begin with. So when he goes on stage, if it wasn't for Dave literally getting a tequila moments before that and basically dropping it, the assailant slipping, and Dave's been working out, if you haven't seen his muscles, he's been working out, almost preparing for this kind of moment and throwing the guy off him, who knows what could have happened.
So did you see any of the beatdown of this guy?
So I had clear access, and when people love expressing this beatdown, the assailant started running around, security had to catch up to him, and he was wrestling, he was fighting back. I mean, that's how the weapon became dislodged, and all the quote-unquote beatdown, and everyone loves to say who was there and who wasn't, there was a screen right there, and even though we had a great angle and great view, you could kind of see that he was being subdued, and that I feel like they were being expedient and efficient and effective as security, and thankfully nothing happened today.
Did he have the weapon in a bag? We've heard conflicting reports where it was attached to his body in some way.
I don't know if it was in a bag or attached to his body. I just know that it was in his front, the same place where a lot of people or criminals would carry their gun. So it was in that location. I don't know about the bag. He did have a backpack with him, but it seemed like the gun was dislodged from the front of his pants. And I didn't get enough view to know the size and the danger of that weapon until afterwards, as everybody backstage, and then, of course, later on in the news and media.
Was there a moment as it was unfolding that you thought, oh, my God, we're going to see something really horrific happen here?
Honestly, it happened so quick that the only experience that I felt at the moment was shock and confusion. The anger and the fear didn't set in until after the fact. So it was shocking. It was, if you remember the Will Smith smack, a lot of us were watching it like, oh, this is part of the show. And there was a moment where this was so surreal, it wasn't immediate that this wasn't something. It was that surreal. It was almost too real, even in real life.
Well, Teron, thanks for talking to us. Tell folks where they can find out more about your act.
Well, you can find me talking about this and so much more at the Laugh Factory every single Thursday night, 9:30 p.m., Teron Thursdays. It's a highlight, the funnest show of comedy at the Laugh Factory every single week. Catch me on future upcoming projects on Netflix and part of the Netflix is a Joke Festival, of course, and find me on Instagram. But honestly, I appreciate you all for bringing this to light, because this isn't just about Dave. And as he said that night, this is an attack on a comedian. And he didn't allow it to be an attack on that night. But this is truly an attack on First Amendment rights. This is an attack on the protection and safety of people who are speaking up and speaking out. And this is also a notification of we need more crime control in the city of Los Angeles, regardless of which political party it comes from.
Well, we're with you on that. We're with you on all that. Thank you for coming on.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
All right.
All right. That's Teron. Teron Von Gosry. Von Gosry. Anyway, he was there. He was in the VIP area at the Dave Chappelle show at the Hollywood Bowl, which featured a number of other performers. And he got suspicious when the attacker who went by got himself into the VIP area. And he said he tried to alert security, but he got basically dismissed. And we know what happened after that. More coming up.
Yeah, heads ought to be rolling at the Hollywood Bowl security office. John and Ken.
All right, big story of the week is the attack on Dave Chappelle at the Hollywood Bowl Tuesday night. As we mentioned, the attacker, Isaiah Lee, has been hit with 4 misdemeanor charges by the L.A. City Attorney, Mike Fura. Battery, possession of a weapon with intent to assault, but because they're misdemeanors, they're not going to amount to much. The El Segundo Times has gotten a hold of the let's just say the actual details behind the attack, the official police and prosecutor filed details behind the attack on Dave Chappelle. And there's a few interesting things. This report says it remains unclear how Lee breached security at the Hollywood Bowl.
Well, I think we just found out how he did.
Yeah.
The security just shrugged.
Yeah, it looks like I guess he bought like a regular ticket and then worked his way up to that VIP section so he could be closer to the stage so he could just run on. And as our guest just said, nobody seemed to care. He just went right past it, went underneath
it.
See, that's the thing.
You can have all the policies and plans. It's always execution. Is the guy on duty or the woman on duty paying attention, and do they care? Does it really bother them if somebody breaches security and jumps over the fence and storms the stage? I mean, whoever that woman was, the security.
The guard that just kind of waved him off or looked at him like shrugged, I guess.
She ought to be filling out unemployment forms by now, right?
That's sad.
Yeah, because she didn't care. And she didn't have that sense. The security is paid to have that sense, and it's okay if they overreact. It's okay if they suspect people who maybe are not up to no good, because you have to err on the side of protecting the people on stage.
So about the weapon looked like a gun, but upon closer inspection, it was determined to be a folding knife with a blade approximately 3 inches in length. Now, the next part is the part that was very interesting. Slow motion review of video footage of the incident revealed that the suspect did not have the weapon in his hand at the time he rushed and tackled Chappelle. A security guard described that after the suspect ran backstage, the suspect did reach for his waistband. The security guard said he grabbed onto the suspect's hand, causing the weapon to fall to the ground.
So that
security
that,
guard believed that the weapon was a gun. He tried to empty the chamber. Then he realized this doesn't have a chamber ammunition. And then he saw the folding knife.
So that lines up with what Tehran said, that he reached somewhere in his front and it didn't come out of the bag. He had a bag, but the weapon didn't come out of the bag. He had it attached somewhere in his waistband.
In his waistband.
So that's why it came out.
Now, the knife does not qualify, as our favorite legal expression, as a dirk or dagger under state law.
It's a knife.
Because it was a folding knife in a retracted position.
So what? See, that's absurd. Because he's got Dave Chappelle on the ground. He could pull the knife out and unretract it in a split second. That is total nonsense. That's a felony assault. I'm sorry, they can come up with every complicated reason not to charge a felony assault. In the real world, it's a felony assault. And by the way, you also have to charge harshly as a warning against every other a-hole who wants to do this. Because now it's happened twice.
Yeah, I wonder if this guy maybe did have the plan to use his little retractable knife.
Well,
he got so stoked up that he just knocked Chappelle, and Chappelle got up quickly and pushed him back, and then he ran off stage because he was scared. It's like, yeah, I'm getting out of here.
Well, even this guy's brother said he's got
But then when security starts beating him up, he starts reaching for it, thinking, I may need this because I'm getting the hell beat out of him.
And what if Chappelle had beaten him up just to protect himself? Right. He might have pulled the knife on him. And his own brother said he has mental illness and maybe he didn't take his medication. Okay, so you have literally a crazy person on stage within a split second of unleashing a knife in a highly charged situation. Everyone's adrenaline is pumping. You know, people are reacting on instinct. It's fight or flight instinct. Oh, my God, of course that's a felony assault. Only in Gascon's muddled head.
He was arrested in August 2019 in Hollywood on suspicion of misdemeanor battery, but they never charged him. And that's not when Gascon was DA, by the way, anyway. He told police during his arrest he was homeless and was working as a laborer.
You know, I tell you, nobody is safe, right? You could be an 81-year-old woman in Beverly Hills sleeping, and someone's going to come in and blast you away and murder you. You can be that little 4-year-old girl that we talked about last hour with Gascon, and he tried to throw out the previous strikes against the mom who killed the little daughter, right? The little daughter's not safe. The little daughter's mother, Gascon wanted to give her a break. Gascon, you could be a comedian on stage. You could be Dave Chappelle. You may be making tens of millions of dollars a year. You're not safe up there either. Gascon isn't going to prosecute your attacker. It doesn't matter who you are. You're in danger and or your attacker is not going to be prosecuted properly.
His brother Aaron Lee told Rolling Stone, "I don't have anything negative to say about Isaiah. He's a performing artist who tries to stay positive, but he does have a history of mental health issues. He does take medicine. Maybe he missed out taking his prescription."
There you go. And so that
brother's assessment.
All those people rule Los Angeles right now. Every whack job not medicated properly is ruling Los Angeles and terrorizing us.
Right, because there's no consequences.
Because there's no consequences.
And we're not trying to clean this up. We're not trying to compel anybody to get themselves better.
There's no bail. There's no jail. There's no mental health treatment. There's no drug treatment. There's no...
No conservatorship. Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. No prosecution. No jail time. No nothing.
All right. No nothing. But there is more coming up. It'll be something.
John and Ken, KFI.
Oh, I had so much to come, including, of course, the Moist Line and Hacking a Dumpster. After 4 o'clock, we'll be revisiting the wonderful, well, not so much anymore, Bologna Wetlands on the west side of Los Angeles, which has been overrun with RVs and old burnt-out cars and vans parked there, homeless people living there in this environmental wetlands area, and polluting it, quite simply. Feces in the wetlands, there's drugs, needles, there's been some shootings.
Garbage.
It is one of the more awful, you want to call it an encampment. It's just they're all just parked on the side of the road, and they may live in their van, but they're probably spending their time outside, and then they're throwing their waste.
Yeah, all their waste goes into the marsh, and they've really done a lot of damage to the habitat.
Well, one of the people that really keeps an eye on this will join us again after 4, Lucy Hahn, Friends of the Jungle. I guess that's their name for the Bologna Wetlands. We're going to see how much we can get out of her because she's done a lot, but she's explored both the environmental angle to this because clearly there is one. It is a wetlands area, which people went nuts about years ago when they thought there might be development there. Remember that?
Yeah.
I think they did put up a big development nearby that everyone screamed about. The environmental people did, but they don't seem too worried that the vagrants are in there.
No, the environment. By the way, that email I sent to the Sierra Club was asking us for money.
Oh, yeah.
Still, I sent a follow-up.
Nothing,
I sent a follow-up, and I said, you have no response? Still have no response. Because I roughed them up in the email saying, why don't you care about what is going on in the Bologna Wetlands? Nothing. You're always asking for money. Why aren't you doing something about it?
The other thing that apparently she discovered, and she can fill us in on it, it seems to be that the encampments are desecrating ancient tribal burial grounds in the Bologna Marsh.
Yeah, well, I bet you these...
How about that? So bring them on board, too.
Yeah. But it shows you the hierarchy, though, huh? You would think tribal lands would be protected. You would think protected ecological... reserve would be protected? No. Bird sanctuary? No. Homeless waste above all that.
Now we turn to the Supreme Court, and of course the other big story this week was the leak of the draft opinion on Roe versus Wade. Protests are planned outside the Supreme Court justices' homes, outside churches. We may see something this Sunday. I think the home protest is supposed to come next Wednesday. Apparently, the outgoing press secretary, Jen Psaki, kind of shrugged at all this. Fox News Channel's Pete Ducey asked her, and her response was, I don't have an official U.S. government position on where people protest. So,
yeah, because they want this to happen.
Of course.
They do. So
and they
suddenly
think it's going to help them with the November elections.
It won't. It's going to make things worse.
It could.
But that absolutely will. Because, I mean, this stuff is now getting violent and dangerous. And this is the kind of stuff they criticized Trump for. Remember when you had wacky protesters?
Yes.
And Trump never wanted to condemn them, never wanted to criticize them, like that Charlottesville crowd.
Right.
And now Biden's doing the same thing. All that matters is, are they on our team or not? That's all they care about.
Exactly. You remember when Maxine Waters said to go confront Trump officials?
Right.
Where you see them in restaurants in public?
Yeah,
it's the same. Everybody's phony.
So it's tribal warfare. Yes, they're complete liars and phonies.
There's been a lot of discussion about, which is annoying, the slippery slope. What will the Supreme Court do next? But there is one thing worth talking about, and it really brings us back on the John and Ken show many years. The Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who, yes, is up for re-election this year. He is a Republican. He has told the media that he is going to seek to overturn a 1982 court decision. What do you think that court decision did? And we talked about it a lot in California in the mid-90s. This was the obligation for public schools to educate all children, including illegal alien children. Plyer versus Doe. And that was a big case from back then, from 1982.
Yeah. And there's always has been a controversy over whether a constitutional amendment is calling for mandatory education for illegal immigrants. And Prop 187 in 1994 was going to deny public education for illegal immigrant children here in this state. And it won by almost 60-40.
But I remember you and I talked about that and said, well, they already had the Supreme Court decision that you can't throw out the illegal alien kids. Or I guess what they did in Texas, I didn't know this, they were trying to charge them tuition. That's what started the case.
The backers wanted to challenge it in court. And Gray Davis, by the time he finally went through the court system, did not want to pursue it.
Right.
In the federal system. And so the whole motion died. So this whole concept has not been challenged in the modern world.
No, and it was a 5-4 decision in 1982. And interestingly, you know where Judge Roberts was then? He wasn't on the court, but obviously he was in the legal community. And apparently he wrote some documents saying that that was the wrong decision. Does he still feel that way 40 years later? We don't know. Will it get to the Supreme Court? We don't know that either. This story in the New York Times says that Abbott hasn't really explained exactly how he's going to get this in front of the Supreme Court.
Well, you have to create a law, and then somebody has to challenge the law.
Right.
You can't just say, hey, I got an issue that's been bugging me. Would you guys please decide?
Right, because in 1975, the Texas legislature passed a law that barred the allocation of funds for the education of non-citizens and allowed school districts to deny enrollment to, of course, the New York Times, unauthorized migrant children is how they call it.
Unauthorized. Is that people experiencing unauthorized presence in the United States?
Or status, right.
Yeah.
Says the decision was a close one. The five justices in the majority determined that Texas law violated the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution.
Well, and that was a much more liberal era for the Supreme Court.
The court found it would cause a lifelong hardship to the children who were being punished for the actions of their parents. As I mentioned, John Roberts, he was a legal aide in the Reagan administration, co-wrote a memo faulting the administration for not having strongly supported the Texas and the Plyer case. So that's what a lot of people are wondering now. If this gets to the Supreme Court, what will he do?
What you just read is really goofy. The country's not set up. The Constitution is not written to worry about somebody's problems because the law has to be followed. And the solution to having children having problems getting their education is to stay in your own country and migrate here legally. That's the solution. You don't break the law and then demand that your kid be educated. And when they pass a law saying, well, we're not going to do that, we're not going to pay for that, we need the money for our kids here in this country, well, that's an undue burden on the child. Why should he pay for the sins of the parents? So it's like, no. That's not the way it works. We have the right to spend all our tax money on ourselves and our kids. All right? Everybody in the world wants to come here, and they've all got all kinds of reasons. And so we have a very liberal legal immigration system, and we let in well over 1 million people a year. And you really have to get in line and wait and make your case.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
It looks like Biden told the Amtrak story again today. The seventh time since he's been president. An Amtrak conductor supposedly grabbed his cheeks and shouted, Joey, baby! It says here, even CNN's Facts First journalist Daniel Dale declared the Biden story, most of it, false.
It is.
In some tellings, the encounter happened at the end of Biden's 8 years as VP after he crossed 1 million miles on Air Force Two. But that version is impossible because the man he keeps referring to, Angelo Negri, retired in 1992 and died in May of 2014.
Right. He died.
He was the Amtrak guy. He was the Amtrak conductor.
He died years before he supposedly ran up to Biden.
And gave him the cheek grab. Joey, baby. Biden said that's a true story. Said it happened early in my vice presidency before my mother died in 2010, which is equally difficult to square with facts because Biden didn't cross 1 million miles on Air Force Two until September of 2015.
So
you can see that it doesn't mesh. No,
his mom was dead.
Doesn't mesh.
The Amtrak guy was dead. And Biden was dead, too. Interesting.
The...
I...
This version of the story says he was riding on the train and the conductor comes up to me, Angelo Negri, and says, "Joey, baby," and grabs my cheek. Joey, I love... Anyway, that's crazy. I don't know why. I guess when you get like this, just one couple stories rattle around in your head and you just blurt them out.
I don't know. See, I'm really wondering. I'm looking forward to being, 80 years old and half in the bag. And what's going to be the stuff rattling around in my head? What stupid story that is will be mostly false am I going to be telling people over and over again?
You were at the 69 World Series and saw the Mets win or
something like that.
Two Republican states... Republican-led, have filed a lawsuit against old Joe and other administration officials. That's a good one. Alleging that they pressured and colluded with big tech to squash the Hunter Biden laptop story. And they went further with this lawsuit. Censor information related to COVID-19's lab origins. The Missouri Attorney General and the Louisiana Attorney General have filed this lawsuit. I don't know where this goes. Is it going to federal court somewhere, or how does this?
Well, I don't know what.
Will you be deposing Biden?
What proof would they have? I mean, this seems just like a political headline lawsuit.
It does.
I mean, it's very possible because Twitter and Facebook were very adamant about shutting down the Post story on Hunter's laptop, and Biden, denied the whole thing over and over again as well. So, there's a lot of close ties between those tech companies. They wanted Biden to win. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Biden people talked to the tech companies and said, hey, can you find some loophole in your policy there to shut this thing down?
Shut that down or call it disinformation
because it very well could have cost Biden the election. I mean, they've done after-the-fact polling, and they found that, X percent of people would have switched their vote had they known about the Biden laptop.
Right.
Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But, they thought it would be true. So I don't doubt that they were talking to during the Obama administration, like Facebook was very close to members of that administration, and they were coordinating policies together.
Right.
We're increasingly secretly run by the tech companies because of the tremendous amount of money that they have, that they can donate to political parties and those parties' causes.
Yeah, and reading through this story, and of course it's in the New York Post. This is one of their biggies. They had the Hunter Biden laptop story back in 2020, and as you know, a lot of social media outlets just censored it. But I don't see the proof of them. How are these attorney generals saying the Biden administration, we have a recorded conversation that they had with the Facebook or with Twitter to censor these stories? Or?
You know, the thing is, they don't have proof, or they would have presented it. But we're in an age now where people just make proclamations and repeat them over and over, and they get half the country to believe it. It's like Trump in the 2020 election. He just keeps saying it over and over, and so do other politicians. They don't have any evidence, but they just keep saying it, and people are believing it. That's where we are in life.
Yeah. You can tell this is a bit political. In addition to the Hunter Biden laptop story and the theory that COVID-19 came from a Wuhan lab, there was also the government suppressing the effectiveness of wearing masks to stop the spread of COVID-19 and the security of mail-in voting during the pandemic. They went for it all there.
No, I thought, because I've seen a million of these notices. I know you're not on Facebook, but if you go on Facebook and if your friends just say, hey, I've had COVID. I'm sorry, I've been out of commission for the last 2 weeks and blah, 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 blah. Facebook, if their algorithm picks up the word COVID, they slap a little informational bar underneath for the most accurate COVID information. Click here. And if somebody says, hey, I was taking ivermectin, they have another bar to dissuade you from believing that ivermectin is a proper drug, and so they're constantly scouring all the posts looking for these hot button words, and then slapping warnings or explanations underneath the post. So I would, and they did that with the China thing because there were a lot of people talking about the virus coming from the Chinese lab, and that was censored on social media the way the Hunter Biden laptop was censored.
All right, when we return, we'll be speaking once again to Lucy Hahn. She's a resident of LA's West Side. She's with the Friends of the Jungle. This is about the Bologna wetlands, which has been overrun with RVs and burnt out vans and cars all parked along there in this environmentally sensitive place, which is desecrated by the filth of the vagrants who were living out of these campers and these vans. And she's got an update for us. She's done some work with environmental groups and tribal burial grounds. You'll hear all about it next.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
This week at Safeway, enjoy big savings with the BOGO sale, where select items throughout the store are buy one, get one free. With this week's BOGO sale, get select meats like Signature Farms 90% lean ground beef or boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free. Plus, select fresh produce items like 1 pound containers of sweet strawberries or containers of blueberries or buy one, get one free. Safeway, come in and explore and see what other deals you can find.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.